90K is going to be a struggle. Well, welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor David Branson. I am honored and grateful that you all are here with us this morning for worship time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Your connect cards, a couple quick announcements. In your bulletin, you'll find a connect card here standing behind your church. So we're just blessed that you all have made a commitment to Lakeside. And thank you, too, to our leadership council, our finance people on that. They do a great job. I'm telling you, they can keep a good eye and track our finances here. So I just want to thank them for their diligent work. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Is seated at the right hand
living water flow through our worship this day. Quench our thirst for your wisdom and truth, so that we may grow in faith and love. Fill us with streams of your Spirit, so that we may know you more fully. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning. Morning.
Please join us as we sing praises to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The words should be up on the PowerPoint. I know maybe it's on top of that. Please let's join our voices together and let him know how much that means.
Now is the time to hear.
can be seated.
There are many examples of that through our Wednesday night healing and communion service. Father, I lift up those folks who have been lifted up during that time as well. And Father, you've heard our concerns for our loved ones as they've suffered infection after surgery and different health issues and health concerns, Lord, that just weigh us down at times. We pray for your intervention and for your providence and for your grace to go before us, Lord, to make these paths smooth for each of us. Father, thank you for the doctors and nurses and the staff that work with all these people that just have major health issues, Lord, and the caring health care that they give and the caring nature of these professionals, Lord. And we pray for them this morning as well, that they would feel the Holy Spirit moving them in a direction to care for people and to make people well, Lord. Thank you for them. Father, we lift up our community around this church today, Lord. Many times there are those wandering our streets that are lost. And Father, I would pray that they would feel the need and the urgency to come within this place, to come and seek healing for whatever is afflicting them in their lives. Father, I pray for Osmel as he continues to provide for his family, and recently here from Cuba, Lord, that he would feel your presence in his life, and that you would lead him into the areas of the ministry that you have called him here to do. Father, thank you for our leaders of this country and our military and our special services that take care of us here at home, Lord. Father, we are grateful for their service, and Father, we pray their protection and safety until they can come back home and to be with their families, Lord. We just cover them in prayer this morning. Father, we are grateful to be this place of refuge. Father, as we flow into this place on Sunday morning, let us leave filled with the living water of Jesus Christ. Father, we are grateful for your Son who went and died on the cross for us. Father, thank you for his giving of himself for us, Lord. We are not worthy. So, Father, I just ask you to be with us today during our service, that we would feel your Holy Spirit fill this place, and we would leave here rejuvenated, feeling the weight of the world not upon our shoulders, but upon yours for us, Lord. So, Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us this day and every day that we are in your kingdom, and we worship and follow you, Father. We are grateful for you. Father, be with us now as we pray together the prayer you gave your disciples. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
you heard Ken give us a
come down on our budget, and he showed you several pies and pieces of. And now it is time for us to even out those pieces of pie. As we ask you to prepare for the offering, and will the ushers come forward at this time?
Oh,
by William Lowman, the book. This week we're looking at Savior. Why Jesus? The Savior. The scripture this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 19 through 22. Hear these words this morning. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who was preached among you by us. Through me, Silvanus, and Timothy, he wasn't yes and no. In him, it is always yes. All of God's promises have their yes in him. That is why we say amen through him to the glory of God. God is the one who establishes us with you in Christ and who anointed us. God also sealed us and gave us the Spirit as a down payment in our hearts. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let this message be strong in our hearts this morning. Father, we are grateful to be your people. Let this message speak to us this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In John's Gospel, he says that if I were to write everything down that Jesus said and done, there's not enough books in the universe to contain it. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
You think there was a little exaggeration there? We have the Gospel. Is it everything that Jesus said and did in here? No, it's not. The Gospels are amazingly precise and concise. There's not a lot of wasted words, is there? This looks like a huge book that takes us a long time to read through. But what's consistent throughout this book? What's the consistent part of what we read here today? Only what is important has been said, right? That's what we're assuming. That everything that we need to know from God through Jesus Christ, written down by the people that have written the Bible, is the things we need to know, correct? That's a yes. You know, John has said in his book that they've given us just enough to believe that Jesus is the Savior. Is there enough in here for each one of us to say without a doubt that yes, Jesus Christ is our Savior?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you're getting the hang of this. Do we believe that Jesus is the answer to every wrong thing in the world today? So why is there so much wrong in the world today?
We don't listen.
We don't listen. I listen all the time. I hear everything he says. He talks to me and I say yes, sir, and I feel it. Don't get choked back here. So the Gospels are saying everything we really need to know. What's the thing we need to know? Jesus saves, right? All right, let's go on. That's the message today. Jesus saves. Why did Jesus' ministry end on a cross and not on a crown? You ever think of that? He could have had any crown he wanted, couldn't he? What got Jesus into trouble? What got him into trouble was those folks that he tried to save, didn't he? Wherever Jesus went, did he only hang out with the higher mucky-mucks, the higher-ups, the people in charge? He also hung out with them, but who did he search out? Did you ever notice that no one on a club... Okay, clarify. I want this to turn into the children's message. Jesus saved those who thought, the world thought, couldn't be saved. That makes me feel a lot better. If he could save the folks we read about in this scripture,
each one of you have a chance.
He ate with sinners and he welcomed them.
The women at the well in the children's message.
Was she your fine, upstanding citizen?
No.
Did she go looking for him?
No.
Did he go looking for her?
Yes.
That would change the world. Because no matter what we've done, it's not about us seeking out Jesus, is it? When we're trying to hide, when we're tied up in something that's just tearing our lives apart. I love the picture. My mom has it hanging in her house. I remember it hanging in my grandmother's house. Jesus in the garden, standing at the door, knocking. And if you noticed in that painting, there's no doorknob on the outside of the door. So when he comes and he knocks at our door, and it's not like we're out in the world trying to find it, is it? He comes and knocks on our door. And it's up to us to let him in. It's up to us to let him in. Jesus was God's great answer. Yes. We read it in our scripture. His yes is yes. Every yes in Scripture is the Christ. Jesus the Christ. In Matthew 13:18, I want to read quickly to you this morning. A parable. The parable of the farmer. Hear these words. Consider this a parable of the farmer. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown on the path. As for seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand, and bear fruit and produce. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. And in another case, a yield of 30 to 1. You get the picture here of what kind of farmer Jesus was? I come from farm country, and out there, the farmers, they plow their roads in nice straight roads. They pull out all the weeds. They take care of the ground. They prepare it. They drop seeds exactly 6 inches apart. You all know what Jesus' farming is? Jesus' farming is throw it. Scatter. Some falls on good ground. Some falls on not such good ground. We just read what happens to that seed. That is Jesus' style farming. We also, just a little farther along in that chapter, hear the fisherman. You throw your net out. Does the net know which fish to catch? When the fisherman throws the net out, they're going to get all kinds of fish, aren't they? Do you sort it right there? Absolutely not. You bring it all in, and the sorting is done later. One day it will be sorted, but not today.
I love this story of Zacchaeus.
He was a good guy, wasn't he?
Jesus coming into town, where was Zacchaeus to be found?
Sycamore tree. I used to climb sycamore trees. They're good trees to climb.
There again. Zacchaeus wanted just to see Jesus, didn't he? But when Jesus came walking along the path in the town, and he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, what did he do? Zacchaeus wasn't necessarily coming down to ask something of Jesus. He just wanted to see him. But Jesus went up to him, didn't he? Jesus went up to him and said, "Hey, fella, come on down. I'm going to your house for dinner tonight." What did the crowd say? "Ooh, he works for the IRS. You don't want to go and get him. He'll probably charge you for dinner." What happened to Zacchaeus? Did he turn out all right? What did he do? He was so turned around by the fact that Jesus would even come to his house. What an honor for him. Do you think his standing in the community all of a sudden rose? Probably not, because now they're condemning Jesus for hanging out with this guy. But we know what his reward was. He was so happy to have Jesus there that he made a remarkable offer. He was going to give half of everything he owned to the poor. Now that doesn't sound like a tax collector that's going to be in business very long, does it? And anyone that he had defrauded, he was to pay back if it could be proved. And as I read this, I pondered that. How are you going to prove that old Zacchaeus overcharged you on your taxes? You think his heart was in the right place? And I have a feeling that he probably did more than pay back those he had defrauded. He did more than what was asked of him. And then Jesus, having taken the wind out of Zacchaeus' sails, and says, "Salvation has come to this house." What is salvation? I love what it says in the book here today. The definition of salvation. Salvation, as Christians define the word, salvation is whenever Jesus intrudes your space, whenever Jesus makes your sinful table the site of his salvation feast. Salvation is what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't invite Jesus to dinner. Jesus invited himself, didn't he? Hardly anyone in Scripture chooses Jesus. But he chooses everyone, doesn't he? Is that good news for us today?
Yes.
Salvation is not something that we do, then, is it? It's what Jesus does for us. In salvation, the one that says, I, learns to say to Jesus, you. Is that a powerful message for us today in our world today? How much of I do we hear in our world today? I want this, I want that. I think we've stumbled away. We've gone and hid somewhere away from Jesus. And he's out there knocking on our door. So what's the main requirement for membership in this kingdom? Is to be honest to God, lost, right? When we're honest to God, lost, is when Jesus is standing at our door. And it's up to us to open it, folks. It's up to us to open that door. Paul says that what happened
of Jesus on Easter continues as believers are made alive in Christ. Is that reassuring you this morning? I'd like to read one more scripture from Ephesians this morning on our closing. This comes from Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that He did wrong. He did this because of the great love that He has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of His grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possess. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we are to live our lives. That's the good news this morning, folks. You've heard the good news. I hope the good news this morning has touched your heart. Some of us